Well, as a global leader in neurovascular medicine, health equity and pioneering stroke research, it's safe to say that Dr. Sonu Bhaskar has a very long resume. His contributions to medical research have been recognised at the Asian Australian Leadership Awards overnight, taking out the overall winner. The awards are spotlight and seek to reverse the underrepresentation of Asian Australian success stories from healthcare to business, sports and the arts. Dr. Bhaskar joins me from our Melbourne studio. Doctor, congratulations and welcome to breakfast.
Thanks for having me. It's wonderful. Good morning.
What does it mean to be acknowledged for your remarkable work?
It's incredibly humbling, and it inspires many of the Asian Australians like us. Australia is a beautiful country, and sense of service is embedded in many of our members of our community. But the sort of the racism and discrimination that you have witnessed in last couple of weeks, specifically in America, and now the spate of attacks within this country, it makes you think that there is divide. The hyphen between Asian and Australian is not a divide, it's a bridge. And that's what this recognition is about. It's a responsibility that we all owe to each other as Australians.
What's your story of journeying to Australia? How did that happen for you, Sonny?
It's been incredibly transformative journey. I come from a very simple, humble family in India, in the eastern part of India. And I still remember I used to walk 5 kilometres to my school. And growing up, I was neurodivergent. And it was things like tying up shoelaces was incredibly challenging. Mm. And that caused a lot of bullying and sort of ideation. But I found refuge in books, in secondhand books. And yesterday night, when this event was being organised at the State Library in Victoria, it was a safe space for me because it felt like I'm home in the library. And coming back to the story of library, so we worked incredibly hard and we got scholarships. And that scholarship took me from India to Spain to Netherlands and Germany. And finally, 14 years ago, I migrated to Australia, and I call Australia as home for the last 14 years. And it's, as I said, it's a great honour to be here. And I think it's a beautiful country.
Sonu, in those childhood days for you, are there people who stand out in your childhood who could see this kid who might struggle to do up his shoes, but you're obviously very, very clever academically in other ways? Who nurtured that talent and curiosity?
I think the biggest inspiration for me in my childhood times were my grandfather, my late grandfather, and he would... and I spoke about in yesterday night that there's a particular instance when I came back and somebody pushed me from behind. My glasses broke. And when I came back and I spoke, and my grandfather saw I was visibly upset, and he brought me close and he said to me that there are a lot of people who want to change you. But remember, you are the architect of your own story and you'll build a new one. And the sort of, the mentoring, the support and compassion that my grandfather taught me was incredibly inspiring for me. And he's not there anymore. He passed away. But I think his lessons and his life has been one of the greatest motivation in my life.
Tell me about where this initial curiosity for neurology research started. It's a very specific field. How did that all begin for you?
There are two important incidents in my life. The first one being that my mother's side grandfather died early, and he died after a septic shock after his surgery. And that brought me very early in my life that there are inequities in healthcare. The same disease happens to one in Australia, in Germany, in UK, in India, and other places in the world. But why do same people get different outcomes? And that inequity was embedded in the way that I took medicine. And one of the areas in the human medicine that really inspired me always was the brain, because it's full of these, you know, millions and billions of neurons that connects and talk, that mediates our thought, our perception of human life. And it fascinates me that even today, despite technology and innovations, we know very little about human brain, and it continues to baffle us.
Mm. So tell me about the research that you've been conducting into strokes for more than a decade.
The stroke, as you know, it's a leading cause of death and disability in Australia. And one of the reasons that stroke happens is because of the blockage of an artery. Now, this particular stroke is called ischemic stroke, but close to 40% of these strokes, we do not know the cause or mechanism of the stroke. And that's a huge chunk of these stroke populations. And that really baffled me, specifically one patient who came with an unknown cryptogenic cause, because as we don't know the cause of these strokes, we don't know how to treat these patients. And that became a sort of the leading question that we went on to investigate. But at that time, there was a new treatment available for a stroke that was called endovascular thrombectomy. It's a procedure by which we can take the clot out of the blood vessel and then the blood flow gets restored. But that opportunity was just like in cancer, you take the tumor out, and you harvest the tumor to understand what kind of cancer is it. But in the brain, it was never done with regards to these clots. So we were the first initiative around the world's first initiative to start harvesting clots and asking these questions, which can lead to understand the underlying mechanism of stroke. And that led to the vascular, to understand that how come these vessels in the brain contributes to dementia, to Parkinson's disease. Like recently, one of our work that we have just put in, we are now looking at that there is a particular phenotype in neurodegenerative condition that is caused because of these vessels. And that's something which really inspired me.
So there's now a brain clot bank in New South Wales.
Indeed, for Australia.
How much inequity do you see in things like stroke? Because people's health conditions, things like smoking, their exposure to things during their work, those pieces can come together often in a catastrophic event.
Oh, that's a great question. See, that the inequity is like, there's a very interesting report that indicates that the postcode of the patient determines the outcomes in after stroke. And that's the reason that if you look at the inequity between the urban and the rural divide, patients that suffer stroke in rural populations in Australia, by the time they come to Sydney, by the time they come to Melbourne, it takes a longer time. And stroke is a time-dependent treatment, which means that sooner the patient comes in, better the patient these get. And like in rural populations, many of these patients don't get diagnosed properly. Even after stroke, even when they get acute stroke treatment, they don't get long-term rehabilitation. And that cause has like lasting impact on these populations. This is we're talking about Australia. Mm. Beyond Australia, these inequities are quite rife in many other parts of the world as well.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is a neurologist and global health researcher, Dr. Sonu Bhaskar, who was recognised in last night's Asian Australian Leadership Awards. Sonu, I'm talking to you from our Parliament House studio in Canberra. It seems likely that we're headed for another debate on immigration policy. Mm. What would your advice be to politicians in the way that they speak about issues of immigration?
Well, I think our politicians, I mean, Australia is a diverse country. I still consider that political spectrum in Australia is one which the rest of the Western world can look up to. We have a relatively stable political system in Australia. But I think the language and the way we refer and unbelong our migrant communities sometimes can have repercussions, whether it's a small racist attack in Sydney or in Melbourne, and those attacks target innocent people. And I think that we also, undermine the opportunities and the contributions of migrants in Australia. And I think we have with the migrants in Australia, we need to see that there is an enormous benefit that migrant communities contribute in making a better Australia, a compassionate Australia. And a country such as Australia, which is a country of migrants, we should be celebrating them not being othering them. And I think this award and this platform is to recognize that no matter whichever part of the world you come from, Australia is your home, and we should celebrate just like as we celebrate our families.
Sonu, we've only got a minute up our sleeve. If someone's listening and they've got a kid who can't tie their shoes at an age when others can, but they can see some talent there, what would you say to them briefly?
Give yourself a go and find a mentor and believe in yourself, because no matter where you start, your journey will be determined by your determination. And if I can make it without very limited resources, I'm sure all of us can make it. And every time somebody tells you that to shut up or you can't do it, remember, take that belief, that plunge of faith, that our brains have extraordinary potential.
Dr. Sonu Bhaskar, it's been a delight to talk to you. Thank you very much for being my guest this morning.
Thanks for having me.